If you would join me in prayer. Lord God, we pray that you would speak to us today. We pray that you would do a good work. Always seemed to be in bloom all year long. He had fruit trees that actually had fruit on them that you could pick and eat just right off the apples and apricots and lemons, and you don't eat lemons, but like you put them in drinks and stuff. But he would just grow plants, and they would grow, and they would be healthy. He had fuchsias, almost every, it's a kind of flowery thing, it's pretty. He had almost every kind, he collected them, almost every kind that existed, and all sorts of other plants as well. He always seemed to know what to do to a plant to help it to grow, what that plant needed. So that it could grow better. He'd walk through his backyard with clippers in hands. He'd look at each plant carefully, and he'd clip a little part off here. He'd pull a weed out there. He'd move a pot a little bit closer to the sunlight, a little more in the shade. He always seemed to know what a plant needed so that it could grow better. I even remember sometimes he would make a little cutting off of a plant. He'd stick that in dirt of all things, and it would just grow. It was magic to me, partly because he was my grandfather and partly because I don't or didn't, especially at that time, have a green thumb at all. So plants didn't just naturally grow when they were around me. I had the ability to kill pretty much every plant I tried to make grow. There was a cactus that I bought one time of like this one. I can keep that thing alive, and it died in a couple of days, which is tricky if you're trying to keep it alive. I mean, it's one thing if you're trying to get rid of it, but I was trying to make it grow, and it wouldn't. Now, in recent years, my thumb has grown a little bit more green, and now I can make some plants grow some of the time, and the greening of my thumb happened when I realized how I was killing the plants. I've always really liked plants, and on a semi-regular basis, I would see a plant that I liked that was cool, whatever, I would buy it. I'd take it home, I'd transplant it, put it in a bigger pot, get some good soil in there, water it, put it somewhere where it would be happy, and then I would start to care for the plant. So the next day, I'd wake up in the morning, I'm thirsty, I'm sure the plant's thirsty, I'd give it a little bit of water. And then a little bit later in the morning, I'd be like, come on, grow, and I'd give it a little bit more water. And then later in the day, it hasn't grown yet, and I'd give it a little bit more water. And before you go to bed, you always got to get a drink of water, so I gave it a little bit more water then. I'd wake up in the morning, turns out, about 3 or 4 days of being cared for in this fashion, the plant would just suddenly die. It turned colors, and it was gross. It turns out water, you can actually water a plant too much. This is what I was doing wrong. Soil can get moldy, roots can drown. They need a little bit of air, they need a little bit of water, but not too much water, and if you don't do it right, it can rot. And then the plant dies very, very quickly. Which is kind of a strange notion, because plants need water to grow, and yet, if it has too much water, it won't. Apparently, you really can't have too much of a good thing. Too much of certain things can make plants start to rot. Too much of other certain things can keep plants from growing in the right ways. And sometimes, even if it has all the right things in it, it still could grow in unhealthy ways. And of course, I'm not just talking about plants anymore. Certain things in our lives may keep us from growing, may choke out life, may cause us to rot. We too can grow in unhealthy ways that prevents more growth. Which means that it's not only important to make sure that we have the right things into our lives that we can grow, but it's also crucial that we have certain things out of our lives so that we can grow, so that we can have space to breathe again, so that our lives can grow in healthy ways. 2 weeks ago, we started this kind of second part of this sermon series, looking at growth in our lives. We spent some time looking at a passage in 1 Corinthians, which basically says, is Paul saying, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. And we spent a lot of time talking about that idea that it really is God is the one who brings growth. God is the giver of all growth. But God also, for some reason, wants to partner with us in that process, which means that we have a role in encouraging growth as well. We make sure that a plant, or in this case our lives, has water and sunlight and the right soil and space to grow, in the same way that we make sure in our lives there's prayer and Bible study and service and fellowship so that we can grow as well. And of course, if any of those things are missing or not in the right proportion, we may not grow as we are called to grow, as we're supposed to grow. Last week, we spent a lot of time talking about what may need to be added into our lives to encourage growth. And so we talked about maybe service, maybe prayer, maybe Bible study, maybe fellowship may need to be added into our lives. This week, we're going the other way. What may need to be taken out of our lives to encourage growth? So we're going to begin, we're going to look at two different passages, but let's begin with John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. The Gospel of John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. We read this passage a couple months ago. I think we left out the first couple of verses, and those are the ones I really want us to focus on this morning. John chapter 15. Jesus says this. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Amen. Here we see Jesus describing a grapevine, where the vine is a gnarly trunk of a thing attached to the roots. Ultimately, it's the life of the plant, and attached to that vine are the branches, which ultimately bear the fruit, in this case, grapes. But as Jesus paints this picture, he also explains this metaphor for us. He says that I, Jesus, am the vine, my Father is the gardener, and we are those branches. We are supposed to be bearing fruit. And then he says something that I think we try and ignore whenever we read this passage. As the Father does his work of gardening, apparently he spends a lot of time doing two different kinds of cutting. If a branch isn't fruitful, it gets cut off. And if a branch is fruitful, it gets cut too. And of course, the purpose of these cuttings is different, but I imagine they feel very similar at the time. And again, if you believe in the Bible really at all, this passage should at least frighten you, if not terrify you. If you take this thing seriously in the least, this should at least scare you a little bit. Some branches are
roses, and then in February, I pruned them. If I understand what I was doing, and I'm not saying I did, I ended up cutting these roses way back, almost to the ground. All year long, they produced beautiful roses, but by the end of the winter, they were misshapen. Many of them, they had just as many dead leaves as healthy ones, and they just generally looked sort of pitiful. And they were not, they were ugly. So, I'm a good gardener, if I understood what I was doing. I started to cut, and I cut off all those plants. I pulled out my shears, and I just started to cut. And when I was done, they almost looked worse than when I had started, because what was, at least, you know, had some branches, I cut it almost down to the bottom. Interestingly, the year before, I had four, for some reason, the number of roses I can sort of keep alive. I had four. I pruned all four of them. One of them I pruned just a little bit too much. It didn't come back. The other three thrived, and they were fine. But here's the secret behind pruning. And interesting, I read it recently in a book on ministry, of all things. A guy named Mark DeVries says this. He says, in the world of nature, things grow by two means, either by being planted or by being pruned. I'm going to say that again. In the world of nature, things grow by two means, either by being planted or by being pruned. The reason I cut those roses back so far so that they'll be able to grow wholly new in healthy ways come the spring. And apparently that's what Jesus says that God is doing for us. God has to cut out some of those unhealthy things out of our life so that we can grow healthy in wholly new ways. That those unhealthy things may be in such a place where you can't actually grow as healthy without those. The roses, they kind of have these the really tall thing, so if they tried to grow a rose at the top, it's just not going to be, it's not going to be a good rose, but if you cut it all the way back, you can have a good, healthy branch with a good, healthy rose on it. You cut away some of the less productive branches so that the plant can be more productive. So that's what God's doing. What's our part of this? And for this, we're going to turn into another passage in the Bible. It's Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 15. We're going to kind of mix our metaphors just slightly, but I think it'll be okay. There's another gardening, another planting story. Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 15. Luke writes this. He says, "While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown." When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what the parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, but then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Amen. Jesus tells a story about a farmer planting seed. As was the custom back then, the farmer would have a whole bunch of seed, and they'd just kind of walk around throwing the seed. But most of it, if he's throwing it the right way, most of it's going to land on the good soil. As a farmer, you're not just, you know, wasting seed by throwing it on paths and among thorns. But you're just kind of throwing it like this, and some of it's going to end up on paths, some of it's going to end up on some of these other soils. And of course, seed that's not on the good soil is going to have a trickier time with it. And the way Jesus tells the parable, there's four different kinds of soil. First, sometimes the seed falls on the path, and this seed gets trampled on or picked up by the birds. Second, some seeds fall on the rocky soil, where there really isn't any place that they can get root. So when the sun comes up, the plants are scorched because they don't have the water. The third type of seed fall among the thorns. So the plant has some initial growth, but they get choked out by the thorns. And the fourth type of seed falls on the good soil and produces a crop. And Jesus finishes the story, and that should be that. Except for the fact that we have these disciples, and this is why we love the disciples. They come up to Jesus right after he's done with the story, and basically ask, what are you talking about? We don't understand. And so Jesus pretty much has to explain the whole parable for them again. And Jesus begins by explaining that the seed is the Word of God. And it's scattered all around. And the different realities of our heart are the different types of soil. Now, normally in a Christian context, this parable is simply talking about how one receives God's Word the first time. That's how we often use this passage. When Jesus first kind of shares his word through an evangelist, or through however it comes to you, what is the state of your heart, your soil, so that those that word can get planted and grow healthy? But I think this really is a parable about every day, all the different ways that we can receive that seed and all the soils of our heart. I think this passage is just as applicable whether you've been a Christian for scores of years or whether you're not a Christian at all, because we are continually supposed to be receiving God's Word afresh to us. What's more, that makes sense because the state of soil, and our hearts for that matter, can change. But once with fertile soil, if it gets walked on a little bit too much, starts to become calloused, starts to become packed down, and starts to become a path. What once was fertile soil, if life just washes away the topsoil a little too much, washes away the nutrients a little bit much, all that's left is kind of some rocks. It's become shallow soil. What once was fertile soil, and if we're not paying attention, there could be weeds that start growing as well. And if someone's not paying attention, those weeds can start growing bigger and bigger and start choking out new growth. So sometimes, even what began as healthy soil can become all of these unhealthy soils. Of course, that's not the end of the story either, because a good gardener can do some work in those unhealthy soils to restore them. A good gardener can till the soil, till the path, and turn it back into dirt. A good gardener can remove the big rocks. A good gardener can do some weeding to restore the soil's health. What's more, a good gardener can add new soil, maybe some fertilizer, maybe some weed killer, maybe some water, and restore unhealthy soil back into healthy soil. Jesus describes the four soils, and I find it interesting that all three unhealthy soils can have something removed from them to make them more healthy again. And of course, in this parable, the implied question from Jesus is, how is the soil of your heart? What is the state of the soil of your heart today? I wonder, has your heart become calloused because life has just been trampling on it a little bit too much recently? Too many people have been walking across or through your life, and it's affected your heart a little bit. When I was in Scouts, at some point they were encouraging us how to hike. And they said, if you're on a path, you need to walk single file, so you keep the path there and you don't kill the things that are on the side of the path. As junior high, senior high boys, we had a tendency to, not walk in a path, and we would kill more plants than we needed to. But they said, if you're walking through a field where there is no path, don't walk single file. Walk in a big, staggered, kind of scattered thing, because I won't do all that much damage if I'm walking through. I mean, I'll bend a couple of blades of grass, but they'll grow back. Whereas if we walk single file through a field, we're all stepping in the exact same places, and we'll kill all of the grass, we'll pack the dirt down, we'll trample all the new life. And so they said, walk kind of more staggered. I wonder today, Has something been trampling on your heart recently and the soil has become a little bit hard or a little bit calloused? Or maybe today your heart has become a little bit rocky, a little bit thin. Maybe life has worn and washed away all that good topsoil in your life. A good rain is healthy. It adds nutrients and moisture to the soil. But too much water all at once has a tendency to create rivers and streams and has a tendency to wash out good soil. Maybe you're just feeling your soil has become a bit thin recently. Like it's hard to let the roots get any deeper. What has been washing away the soil in your heart recently? Or maybe your heart's fine, but there are other things in your life that are choking out new growth. These days, I would think one of the thorniest weeds in our lives is simply busyness. Sure, I'd like to produce new life, new growth, but I just don't have the time. I don't have any spare space in my life right now for anything that God might want. But of course, there are other weeds, too. Different distractions. Maybe there are even people in your life that act as weeds. They're good enough people on their own, but somehow when you get around them, they squeeze some of the life out of you. What are the weeds in your life that are keeping you from growing the right ways? I think here we see where we start to play a role in our mixed gardening metaphors. God may need to do some pruning in our lives, but it may be a little bit up to us to do some soil maintenance every once in a while. And we can see that actually the goals are the same. The reason God prunes is so that we will bear fruit. The reason we nurture the soil is so that we can grow a healthy crop 100 times what was sown. Again, the results are fruit. Which leads us, like last week, to a very practical question. Last week, we ended the sermon, we asked the question, what is one thing you need to add into your life to encourage growth? If you're like me, there's way more than one thing you need to add into your life, but let's take it one thing at a time. What was one thing you have to add to encourage growth? And we talked about, just as examples, prayer, Bible study, service, fellowship. If one of those things, there was a little bit more of it in your life, would that be the thing? Is that the missing part? Would that encourage growth? This week, we have the opposite question. What is the one thing that needs to be cut or taken out of your life to allow space for growth? Again, if you're like me, there's way more than one thing that probably could use some cutting or pruning and whatnot. But what's one thing that you could do today, this week, to allow some space for growth? And be careful here. Because I hope you're not like me, but I worry that you are sometimes. But if you're like me, there's two ways that you address a question like this. And this is the first. The first strategy when I hear a good question like that is I say, yes, I have too much in my life right now, and I need to take something out of my life. Absolutely. Oh, it would be so great to take something out of my life. Space to breathe. That sounds so nice. What can I take out of my life? I don't know. Maybe I should think about this later when I have some more time. Oh, look, there's something else to do. And I never come back to that question ever. Again, if you haven't joined the growth group, join the growth group. We will ask that question again this week because it's an important one. But don't wait for growth group. What is the thing that needs to come out? My second strategy for answering and avoiding the question, and again, you shouldn't be like this, but I am, is yes, absolutely, I should clear some things out of my life if I could. But you see, it's also important. And it all needs to be done, and it all needs to be done by me, and people are relying on me, and my kids need me to be doing all of these things, and well, there's just nothing I could do. I just can't do anything about any of it. So, oh well, maybe next time. But I think we can do something about it. And I worry that maybe this is important. In fact, I'd say there's almost a danger here. In that, what if God is only going to wait so long for you to be fruitful before He pulls out the pruning shears? Because here's the thing. space can always be made in your life. It just comes down to the severity of the cut. The difference between pruning and clearing is a matter of inches. The difference between cutting back a healthy branch and cutting off a non-healthy branch is just a little bit. But it makes all the difference to the plant. What if this really isn't something that can wait? So we get back to the question, what is one thing, just one thing, that needs to be cleared out of your life today, this week, to allow space for growth? Take a few seconds. Is there some aspect of busyness that you could pull out of your life? Some amount of just distraction in your life that just doesn't need to be there? Is there a sin in your life that it's time to do something about it? Even just TV and internet. How much are we connected and therefore not being connected? Imagine if you just had an extra half hour every day. What if you could? What's the one thing for you today that you could pull out of your life, and who knows what might grow in that space? One other part of this story before we stop. I don't want you to lose this. You can see in this sermon that God is very harsh. That God is doing an inordinate amount of cutting and tilling and weeding and all the rest. He's doing damage. But take a moment and look at it from the other side. What if God loves you so much that He can't bear for you to not be fruitful? What if it actually pains God that we're not growing as we should be growing? What if it pains God to see us trying to grow, and then there's this weed that's choking the life out of us, or that our hearts have become calloused, and so we can't live the life He's called us to live? How would God respond to something like that? It hurts me as a gardener if one of my plants won't grow in a healthy way. I would have done it on purpose if I could have. If you're like me, I've heard from a lot of people of how frustrated they are that their little pot of dirt with apparently seeds in it aren't growing. It has frustrated me that the seed that I have no interest in at all, I don't like lima beans, isn't growing. How much more must it hurt God if we are not growing the way we're called to grow? If we're not being as healthy as we're called to be, if there's something choking out our, if we're not being fruitful, maybe today we need to simply be thankful that God loves us so much that He does pull out the shears, that He does not stop until we are fruitful. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You that You love us so much, that You are not content for stagnation. You are not content for us to just be when You've called us to grow. That it hurts You that we are unhealthy. So we pray that You would continue last week's sermon in us. What are those things we need to add into our lives? And then this week You would also help us struggle with this idea. What are the things that need to come out of our lives so that we can grow in more healthy ways? Lord, we pray that You would shine a spotlight in our lives today so we see those things, and just throughout this week, as we're doing something that You know shouldn't be in our lives, that You would say, yeah, that one. That needs to be cut out, pruned out, weeded out, so that we can grow. We thank You, Lord, that You didn't start this process even just in us, but You started it in Your Son, who got cut down for us so that we might have new life. We pray that we would live into that new life every day, growing more and more healthy. We thank you for how much you love us. We thank you that you are the giver of all good growth, and the giver of all life. And it's in the name of your Son we pray these things. Amen. Let's stand. Today. First, I would remind you, go get good seed and try to